All right, and then I'm going to hit record on Zoom. And do we want to line this up with a nice sick clap?
We always want to line it up with a sick clap.
All right, we're going to go on three?
Yep.
All right, ready. One, two.
Oh. Sorry, I forgot how to count.
One, two, three. Yours didn't even clap.
You know why? Because yours clapped and canceled it out, but I heard yours.
Weird.
Yeah.
Cool. Want to do it again?
That's the science of clapping. Sure. So the science of clapping is if you clap at the same time I clap, you don't hear my clap. Like,
do you want to clap first?
Do you want
to... Or...
Should we... Let's try again. You ready? Science of clapping. One.
Okay. Two. One.
One.
We're clapping, two. Boys. I hope it's not too loud.
No, of course it's not too loud. One.
Okay.
Two. Three. Wow!
Once again, on mine, it's way different. It's really interesting to see how these different, like the,
wow!
the streaming. So cool.
It's really loud.
Claps.
Sorry. What?
Claps are cool.
Yeah, they are. Hey, pal.
Hey, pal. I guess we should, as usual.
Introduce ourselves?
Do we need a point at which I add some theme music?
Right.
Do we want to do theme music? We don't have to do
here.
Theme music.
Right here.
Where?
Right here. I'm Bob.
I'm Rance.
But he's Bob.
And I'm Rance.
And this is the Quarantine Book Club.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, ma'am.
How are you doing?
I feel like my nose is whistling a lot today.
I can't tell.
Good.
Are
I
you...
tried to run today.
How'd it go?
Got bad.
I was not well and not with the COVID, just not well. And so I haven't been able to run, and I have put on the COVID 15, maybe the COVID 25.
I tried. I haven't showered yet, which is why my face is all red and I look gross.
Oh man, you decided to podcast stinky.
Yeah. I mean, not really too stinky. And here's why, because I really didn't do too much work, but my body was done. I did 2.83 miles, which.
Oh no, that's so little.
But it is compared to like what we used to be able to do, right? Like I'm saying right now, like you and I we were run boys,
yeah,
and
yeah.
Haven't run for a few months, and
we'll be
so,
run boys again. It's okay to be
not
soft
at your
on yourself, yeah, not angry about what you haven't accomplished.
Yeah,
it's fine because nobody should be judging you for what's happening in one of possibly the weirdest time in our lives. This is the strangest thing that's happened in my life.
Why do all of the intense things that happen in life, though, have numbers next to them? Like, think about it. Like
what?
Like, 9/11.
Okay.
Sucked, right?
It was just numbers. 9/11
COVID-19.
Is just numbers. They all have nines and ones in them.
My birth.
Call 911. Rescue 911. Reno 911.
I really miss
Cool
Rescue
Boys 911.
We're doing everything we can to avoid talking about this book because thank God we're at the last episode of the first book. We've got three more books after this, but Doom Knee Deep in the Dead by Daffy W. Hugh and Brad Linneweaver is at its conclusion today on the Quarantine Podcast.
Yep. You know what else today is?
Podcast. What?
Today.
May the... Well, it's fitting.
Look, I'm beaming up. Let's do this. Come on.
It's
cool.
Is that better? It's fitting that we're reading Doom on May the 4th be with you and also with you, because this is Beyond the Game. I had to read it on here. The first chapter in a classic new space opera. So,
that's stupid.
Today we fit. Which can. Why do we call it chapters are inside books, right?
Right. But that is a chapter.
But this is a chapter in the...
Is it a volume or a book?
It's just...
Is this Doom Book 1, Doom Volume 1?
It's a square
or is
of
the
toilet
whole
paper.
Group, are all four books together a volume?
No. That's a
series?
Yes. Yeah, volume is just a part of that. So I guess you could say volume. Like the first volume in a classic new space opera. Although I think volume suggests like larger girth or breadth, perhaps, is the best word for it. Because I don't think... Yeah. I mean, I think we're really cutting T's and dotting P's for that. I don't... Because
I wanted to cut my own eyeballs out.
Why?
Reading this book, because it's so... I thought it... Remember when we said last week it would get better once we hit the second half of the book?
Mm-hmm.
It did not get better.
It goes downhill from there. It's like watching Sonny Bono on the ski slope going south, right? And you're like, oh my God, Sonny Bono is on the... I always get Sonny Bono confused with Bono from U2.
Just want to let what you about... Know. Okay.
Yeah, right. Sonny and Cher is like Sonny Bono.
Yes.
Okay. Sonny Bono is going down the slope. Okay. Not Bono from U2, because Bono from U2, he's allergic to red wine. I read that in Rolling Stone. It's not Bono going down the slope. I'm going to a place with this. Sonny Bono is going down the slope, and you're like, he's going fast. But that's Sonny Bono on skis.
Okay.
And then he comes, bam, he smashes right into a tree.
That happened in real life?
I think that's why Sonny Bono is not alive anymore, Bob.
I think he just died because he got old.
Nope,
bro.
We're looking at it now. How about you talk about the next...
Well, when we left...
Do you want to take a bet on this? Do you want to take a bet on my Sonny Bono knowledge?
Okay, what's the bet? Because I'm not betting you money. I'm betting you a thing.
I don't know. I just know I think he died. Okay?
Some type of torture. I know.
Okay.
I know what it is. If Sonny Bono died because of complications or due to having had a skiing accident, more specifically crashing into a tree while skiing, then you have to write, or then I have to write Daffodab Hugh a happy fan letter about the Doom Bus. If it's anything other than a skiing accident relating to crashing into a tree.
Okay.
Then you have to write Daffodab Hugh a letter saying how much you enjoy the Doom books.
Love it.
You will have to also post it. Either one of us will have to post it as a review on Amazon.
Okay. I like this idea. Okay.
Cool.
Sonny Bono, not Bono.
No. Bono's still alive, so you'd be screwing yourself.
He died
right
in 1998.
Yes.
Right.
Probably complications to cancer.
Cause of death, skiing accident.
No,
look
you
it up. On,
show
no,
me.
Look it up on friggin' Wikipedia, son. You want me to share my screen and show you?
Yes, I do.
Okay,
I do.
Okay, all right. Oh, yo. You're gonna have to write Daffodab Hugh, because you can't write Blad. Blad Winoweaver, Sonny Bono.
I can't believe this. There's no way that he died of a skiing accident.
He died of a skiing accident.
I wish that our father was still alive, because I would ask him, because he would know.
Yeah, well, he's not, just like Sonny Bono. So, okay, Sonny Bono. Now, we go down, right? There's no talk about it. I forgot that he was like a congressman, right?
Number four, death.
Cause of
you
death.
You just click on death.
Skiing accident. Do you see it?
What?
Right? Career.
I do.
Political career. Death. Hitting
no
a tree.
Way.
Yeah. Bono died January 5th, 1998 of injuries incurred when he hit a tree while skiing
ridiculous.
At Heavenly Mountain Resort in South Lake Tahoe, California. After Bono's death, Sonny Bono. Bono, not Bono. Mary Bono said that Sonny had been addicted to prescription drugs, mainly Vicodin and Valium, and that she believed her husband's drug use caused the accident. However, no drugs or alcohol were found in his body on autopsy. A wild conspiracy theory has been floated. I hate that last sentence. A wild conspiracy theory has been floated. But there's no conspiracy theory listed here.
I mean, do you think Sonny Bono actually had, like, packets of, like, coke on him? Well, he was going down this. There's already plenty powder. You don't need that at the ski school.
I gotta snort this Valium.
Oh man, I gotta
write. Dude, you gotta
write. Gotta write a
why did I know
Hugh
this?
A letter And I have to write a review on YouTube.
Why did I know YouTube, this?
Amazon. I don't know. I feel like I got set up.
You didn't. I just knew it. I promise you. No, because what I was going to say before this all started, going back to Doom Knee Deep in the Dead, was that it's like...
You can get out of the share screen.
Oh, I can. It's like Sonny Bono going down a hill, right? You're like, Sonny Bono's going down the hill, but then, bam, he hits a tree and it's all done. Like, there's no goodness to be had from that. It's
yeah, like
just all
book.
Downhill. There's not even an uphill. There's not even a slide to a stop. It's just an absolute descent into
it's
death.
Hot vomit poop. I know we should talk more about the book other than, hey, this book is doo-doo crap, but...
There's so little analysis that can truly be done with it, but I do think there are things to pull out of it. Like, I don't know. You had a specific, I think, format that you wanted to go into today, right?
So,
because I'm terribly disorganized when I'm not doing my day job.
So where we left off last week.
Yes.
Flynn and Arlene had finally met up at the end of chapter 16. Flynn was like, ooh, guess what? I found my best friend. She's a lady. I'm going to protect her because that's what I want to do. I'm Flynn Taggart and I'm fly.
Is there more to that?
No.
Because that's basically the whole plot of the book from that point forward.
It really is. It really is.
Well, other than the occasional appearances of demons.
So I'd like you to open your book to chapter 17. Nice. That looks like a nice frosty beer.
Thank you. Thank you. To chapter 17. Okay.
Yeah, my notes for chapter 17 consist of, in this chapter, they waste time naming shit.
Okay, let's see. Okay, so is that the whole thing that happens? So
They talk about comrats, which are, take me forever to realize that they were combat rations. They spell them, once they spell them comrats with no dash, and then a little later on, they spell them comrats with a dash.
Yeah.
Because this book's so inconsistent. Who cares? Who edited
it? So chapter 17, you say, is all about them naming things, right?
Yeah, yeah. That's about it.
So I'm going to take my finger, and I'm going to find a random spot in chapter 17.
Okay.
And we're going to find out if that's literally what the whole chapter is about.
Cool. Sounds good.
So notice that I am... So here's 18, 17, 16, 17, 7... Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
Wait, that was really bad. I just fell off it.
Do you want to actually hit the book?
I tried.
Okay. Are you going to read it?
Yes. I know, I felt like dog dirt, but what could I do? I didn't have a Jaws with me, and no time to crank the crack wider if I did have. I wormed my way through, leaving a few layers of skin behind.
That's not chapter 17.
It's my 17.
That's when she's telling about it.
I know. I felt like dog dirt. But what could I do? I didn't have Jaws with me. And no time to crank the crack wider if I did have. I wormed my way through, leaving a few layers of skin behind. See? I read it centrally for you.
Bro, I don't even know where the hell that is. I don't even know where that is.
She's okay. Look for,
Oh, it's because they're telling each other their stories of what happened before them.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, okay.
So there we go. But the thing I call a demon is huge, blooded, pink with tusks. Maybe we should call it a pinky. Does your pink demon make a pig sound?
Oh, yeah. So you were literally, like...
Not far away. They're still naming crap.
Yeah. Go ahead. Skip, like, two pages.
Okay. Left or right? Call left or right, because I'm right in the middle. Left. We should name the others, too, she said, encouraged. We got zombies, imps, demons, or pinkies, and hell princes. What do we call the rest? I laughed. That's pretty biblical, isn't it?
There you go. That's the whole chapter. That's the whole chapter. And then I think they get up, they eat, and I think they transport?
That ends with footsteps.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. They go through another transport.
Yeah. Yeah,
into chapter 18.
Yep. And then what they do in 18, there's a reference to hubris in chapter 18.
Uh-huh. They also talk about the Porker Anti-Defamation League in chapter 18. The Porker Anti-Defamation League. Thanks, libertarians. Thanks. That sounds like something that we should all be talking about.
Wait, where is that? Where, let me find that. Let me find that.
Like the first page of chapter 18.
Oh, God.
Towards the bottom.
Yeah, 18. Oh, yes, you've been wondering what I call a demon. She said, so take a good look. I did, and as Gunny Goforth might have said, she wasn't just a whistling Dixie. A whole box of demons marched around a top two-story platform that looked as though it might lower at any moment. One of the quote-unquote pinkies started making those pig sounds I found so disgusting. But as I paid close attention to the anatomical details of this thing, I decided the Porker Anti-Defamation League might disagree with my description. Can we just go back to 19, please?
Sure. Cool. Chapter 19.
Chapter 19. You got this one?
Yeah, sure. Sure. No problem. Let me just get there. I'm jumping through some. Oh, so this is where we start seeing some real hell symbolism. Also, hey, I can see your wife picking stuff up and her shadow just keeps coming across the screen. It's pretty cool. Pretty awesome. Oh, wait, but that's okay. This is when we run into a cacodemon. That's what this is for the first time. We run into cacodemon. Look, bro.
I look tired because of this book already, don't I? Keep going.
The next page in, they give you a doom code.
Yeah.
They give you a doom code.
Yep. The doom code in Doom 1 to clip through walls.
Which is, do you want me to read it out, what it is?
I mean, I can just tell you what it is now without looking at the book.
Cool.
IDSPISPOPD.
Which means?
Smashing pumpkins into SPIS. Smashing pumpkins into SPISPOP. Small piles? Small piles of putrid debris?
Smashing pumpkins into small pieces of putrid debris.
There you go. Small pieces of putrid debris. Yep. There you go.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for that code,
You
guys.
Know what you do with that code?
Shove it right up your ass.
You clip through walls and do that, too. Can you Dude. Read that? Would you be willing to read that moment, please?
Oh. Ready?
Yeah, I would
Hoorah!
Love it.
Hoorah! Exulted Arlene. Smashing pumpkins into small pieces of putrid debris. What the hell was that? I was going to ask you the same question. Okay, well, nerds, what it is, it's a cacodemon. It's a classic Doom enemy. It's a one-eyed red flying monster with teeth and spikes that shoots lightning balls at you.
And a butthole.
Yeah, it's got a butthole in the back.
They definitely modeled a butthole.
I don't want to ask. Let's not talk about what it's called right now. What they called it.
Yeah.
Let's just say they gave it a stupid name.
A really stupid name, and I hate hearing their stupid names.
I do too.
All over and over and over and over again, right?
Repeatedly. Like they never actually call it a cacodemon.
No. They call it something else, which we'll get to later, I'm sure. Wink.
Uh oh.
Wink.
Oh no.
So for all of those of you in the know, you're not in the know. That's fine. Bob and I decided to create quizzes for each other
Cahoots.
This week.
Cahoots. And for everybody else.
So you can play along with us at home if you'd like to.
We'll share the link in the description. It'll be fine. It'll be fun.
And we have a strange habit of thinking the same way, even apart. So I'm not going to bet because I already won a bet today. That at least one of the questions is almost the exact same.
Yeah, probably.
You and I have created the same question in some regard.
Of course. We probably created multiple same questions.
Can we just jump through this? I'm so tired of this part of the book already.
Oh, wait. I will have to say is they talk about the naming rules because that's so important in this book is what we name the creatures when we can't even get it right. But let's go ahead and talk about how important it is to name the creatures. In this chapter, Flynn's like, of course she made the rules. She was the female. Female drivers, I guess, right? Am I right? Women making dinner, am I right?
And then there's the second reference to him being a born lever puller.
Oh, yeah. He is. If there's a description of that character in this book of what
Born Lever Puller.
It's Born Lever Puller.
Born Lever Puller. Then there is a reference later on. I'm going to skip forward to there's a part that stood out to me where there is a switch shaped like a demon penis.
Oh yeah. Because that is in Doom. If you're going to make up a thing that's not in Doom and put it in the book, you can't call caco demons by the right name, but you can make a dick lever.
I'm bringing this up because you might say to yourself, guys, it really sounds like you're focusing on the most minuscule and unimportant parts of this book. But there is nothing happening in chapters. Nothing at all. They are going from seeing each other to naming demons in one chapter. That's 17, right? Then they go three chapters where it's just them talking and killing things.
And not even in good ways. There's no interesting stuff. They're literally talking about how they run into a room, they take out a bunch of demons. There's a moment in the book where they say, well, we killed those demons, we don't even need to tell you about it.
There was one object in the room, placed at dead center. A bas-relief. Is it bas-relief?
Yeah, that sounds great.
That's what I thought.
That sounds
a bas-relief of a demonic monster more horrible or more ridiculous than any we'd fought. Every physical attribute was so exaggerated that it almost seemed to be a cartoon.
A cartoon.
But what, can't you just describe Dick. It? Just describe it. The largest protuberance of all was its penis sticking out at a 45-degree angle. They've got to be kidding, said Arlene. I hate to bring it up, but that's probably another switch, I suggested.
Why don't you pull it, Flynn?
I've handled worse, she admitted.
He's a born lever puller. He should be pulling it.
Not a penis one, Bob. That would reduce him too much.
Oh, that's right, because he's a real man. He's a total, I'm a real boy.
They got, they,
I don't get into all that bullshit.
They were shown sleepy, they were shown nightmares in their sleep.
Oh, yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, they.
What chapter is that where they had the bad nightmares?
For me, it's 170, it's chapter 23.
Oh, you're only chapter 23. Holy moly. Yep.
Yeah, because okay, I'm not trying to waste time, man. I can't handle this.
I do need to admit that halfway through reading the book, as I was taking notes.
You started loving it so much?
No, I finally figured out a way to actually take notes about I decided I should take notes about the chapters. Why? Because I can't remember anything that I read.
Why not?
As I was reading, it just all slipped away because there's so much nothing that it just walked out of my brain. So in chapter 24, I'll tell you about what happens in chapter 24 is Arlene throws another dick switch. They jump to a teleporter
room. You say another.
Another dick switch. There's more than one dick switch. She hits another dick switch. They jump into a teleporter in a room full of hell princes. And then they confuse them into fighting pumpkins because... Oh, I said it. Sorry. I said it.
I'm already angry about something else, which we'll get to soon enough.
Because that's the last of... they confuse them into fighting pumpkins because that's a tactic that you can use in Doom, is make enemies fight each other. And she kills the last one left by throwing a gun in its face.
Yes, yes, yes. The last
Hell Prince. Oh, wait, no, sorry. Hell Prince. It's a hell prince, because why couldn't we have a baron of hell or a hell knight? No, he's a hell prince.
We'll
don't worry, we're so good at
we'll get to that later.
We're good at him.
We'll get to that one later.
So I need to ask you a question about this chapter.
Yep.
This chapter sounds so familiar to me, but it doesn't. The chapter, the level Tricks and Traps, that's in Doom 2, right?
Yes. Yes.
But this is Tricks and Traps, isn't it?
Which particular part?
The part where they find the room with the hell princes, and then they confuse them with fighting the pumpkins. Then there's the room with the surprise pumpkins, where the one comes out over his head.
Yeah, I think there is a lot of that in the second episode of Doom. I mean, that I think is ideally, yes, from Tricks and Traps, right? You walk into the one room in Tricks and Traps in level 8 of Doom 2, and you walk into a room and there's a whole nest of Caco demons that come out from left to right. But then there's also another room that has a Hell Prince in it. And then another room that has like a whole bunch of well, I hate them. Not Hell Prince, Baron of Hell. They have a whole bunch of Barons of Hell in there. I don't think this is particularly directly from that. I don't think it's clear enough.
Okay.
But the weirdest thing is, there are moments of this book where it is so clear that they have just played the game, that they're talking about architecture that's in the episodes, that I wouldn't be surprised if that was what they were attempting to do.
Yeah, but were they worried that because they get when they get to Doom 2, that they're not going to be able to include all of the levels in Doom 2 because they actually want to add a plot
thank
to that book?
Thank God they didn't, because there would have been such amazing levels as the pit.
I also need you to know that when we get to the end of this chapter, there's another random thing that they talk in French, but they're also talking about Buddhism at the same time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If you, the line is "Appelez-vous," and the pronunciation is "Bodhisattva."
Yeah.
Bodhisattva. And that's any person who is on the path towards Buddhahood. Because now they're talking about karma.
Right. This is where they start getting into some of their philosophy.
I need to look at the lines here, because I don't even know who says this. Give me a second. Yeah. Arlene Flynn.
Shall we teleport? Time we teleported? Are we going to spend the rest of our lives on this karmic wheel? Bodhisattva. I sound like such an uncultured asshole right now.
That's okay, because can you imagine that any person that picked this book out knew what that meant without looking it up?
Of course not.
No, because they're all dumb idiot babies.
Of course not.
But also, that's Flynn that says that line. There is no way that human being, that character, would know what that is. That's an author going, oh, I'm going to waggle my knowing stuff dick at you.
Just like that one switch waggled its dick at them.
Do you want to handle chapter 25?
Or yes. Do you want me to? Right. I will, actually. So this is where I'll say that there are these hints of what I would say are clever science fiction beginning to pour its way in. Of clever science fiction. So for one, they have something totally wrong. They talk about how many rockets it should take to kill what they call a Hell Prince, but really it's a Baron of Hell. So let's get our royalty right.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's no Hell Prince. Okay. There's Hell Prince. We're going to come back to that later, but
there's Hell Prince. If you're into theater,
how many does it take to kill a Hell Prince? Usually 6. That's if you're a bad, bad shot. It's 5 straight on to kill a Baron of Hell, okay? You need 10 total if you're going to... And you know what? If you're using rockets on Barons of Hell, man, if you can't just skate around with a shotgun and take those guys out, you're a baby. You're an idiot. You're bad at games. Stop it now. 2 of those things with a shotgun is no problem. You go in and out, in and out, in and out. You weave left and right. All you do is strafe. I mean, you use rockets if you feel like wasting crap, right? Because later on, you can totally waste stuff. But you don't even... You can take them out with a pistol if you need to. A chainsaw is fine, too. But nobody likes using the chainsaw in Doom. Like, let's face it. In the new Doom, sure. But in the original Doom, no. Nobody likes using the chainsaw because you got to get up and close. And it's really weird. Nobody likes using the pistol either. The chainsaw is a fun gimmick, but everybody uses the shotgun. 5 rockets. 5.
This has been Doom Tips with Rance.
Look.
Best Doom player on the planet. He's going to tell you what's up. He's going to gatekeeper the game for you, because that's what he does, bro. Don't worry about it. He knows it all. I was thinking about you a lot when I read the book, though. Every time they named an ammo count for an enemy. I don't know what the actual amount was, but I was just like assuming, oh, hey, yeah, cool, that's right. It probably took this many to kill this enemy. And the fact that you're so mad at it cracks me up.
But that's also just a matter of not how biology works. It's how video games work. It's not how bodies work.
How
right?
many does it take to kill them? Oh, it's six.
You need at least six rockets. Like, it's like saying you need three bullets to kill a human being. Please, nobody, like, ever test that out ever. You're a terrible person if you do, and also that's awful. But, like, it's not saying, like okay, does then a human being take 30 to 40 stabs to kill? No, that's just absolute rage, right? Like, that's why people go, you don't, people, they always say people die of a thousand, like, what, a thousand cuts or whatever it is. Like, you know, it's like the death by a thousand cuts.
Death by a thousand cuts.
Yeah, nobody, like, goes, like, oh my God, you're a human. You need four stabs to die. One will do it. Just like with, if this book.
That dog takes two screwdriver stabs to kill.
To kill. Don't do that at all. No. If you do that, I'm going to find you, and I'm going to take four stabs at you. But not five, because it only takes four.
Your neighbor's cat takes 15 seconds in the microwave.
Jesus, that's getting fucked up.
I don't actually believe it. I love animals. anybody who does that is a scumbag. I just was – that was a joke. It was a really bad joke. I love my cat, Marco. He's my favorite cat in the whole world.
I'm
going to give him little black and white kisses because he's got a cow cat body.
I forgive you. I forgive you.
Thanks, bro. I forgive you too.
I don't know
what you did that was bad.
You can't take.
You maybe read this book.
Even if
that's
it's
what
a demon,
you did.
Even if it's like a demon, it'd be like, it takes six rockets to kill that thing. Like one, you can put one if it's a living body and it's not the size of a building. You can put one in its throat and kill it, right?
Probably.
Like
or in its butthole.
Or right. Like, I mean, arbitrary numbers of how many it takes to kill something is a video game situation. And we're well past that with video games now. But back then, yeah, you needed something. You couldn't even blow off limbs. How unrealistic is that? So, okay, so we keep going. Oh, anyway, as I was saying, this is where we start getting a little bit of, like, these hints of sci-fi in here that I really like. So.
Oh, yes. I know. I keep talking because I don't want to leave the chapter without talking about something else.
Okay. So they go into talking about the spawning vats. These are the level E2 M7. They talk about the spawning vats where creatures are created. And then later they talk, I believe it even is the next chapter again, where they go to fight the largest demon that they've encountered. And they fight it in the like liquid... an empty liquid fuel container, which is just this huge massive area, because they were going to turn the UAC was going to turn Deimos into a ship.
Right.
They were going to turn a whole moon into a ship. And so as a result, there's these abandoned fuel canisters in the like the heart of the moon. And that's neat. Like that's a neat way of explaining this is a big open arena the way it is in the games. Wink, wink, wink.
Right.
And that's where they find the cyber demon. But I think you might have something you want to talk about before that.
Yeah, they go through the dark area. Yeah. They go through the dark, lightless maze, and they find, oh, what do you know, another early Doom installment item, the light amplifying goggles.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things Flynn says, the exact line is, besides, she was the girl. I don't know why that occurred to me then. She seemed to get the goggles an awful lot. They only grab goggles once in this specific section in the whole book. But somehow, she got the goggles a whole lot.
What's that even mean?
Right, right. Is it supposed to be a reference to things that they forgot earlier in the book that were edited out and the editing is just bad because she got... She gets goggles all the time, but also, what sense does it make when they're shooting this, their team shooting a Baron of Hell or Hell Prince or whatever the hell they call it in this the dark maze? She tells him where to shoot instead of just handing him the goggles because she doesn't know how to fire the rocket launcher. What sense does that make? Are you trying to be like, oh, we did a cool teamwork section? Well, I don't, you know what? Just if it's too dark or if it's too bright, hand your buddy the sunglasses so he can be, see better if he's a better shot. Don't tell him, oh, fire to the left. Would it take you too long to take the goggles off?
It's a light drop rectal this, suppository.
Doing this? That took you too long, huh? I hate this book.
They refer to something as a big silly.
Oh, was it screwing up really bad and reading this book? That was a big silly.
The big silly got itself stuck.
Oh.
The big geez. Silly. These are Marines, and they're calling something a big silly. But this is also God. After he says, remember how we had last time, Himpy Puck's not flying on Belladonna? This one charged like a housefrau on speed in the megastore. He's talking about a demon coming at him. This one charged like a housefrau on speed in a megastore. Like, that's a really specific analogy, right? A housefrau on speed in a megastore. Not just like a housefrau on speed.
She's in a megastore.
She's in a megastore.
Now, is that, when we say megastore, do we mean Costco, Walmart? Is there Walmart at this point?
Yeah, I think so. There's like, it's like, and like,
we're like BJ's.
This one charged.
You have to have a membership to join.
This one charged like a housefrau on speed in a megastore. Like, we went from Himpy Puck snot to charged like a housefrau on speed in a megastore.
That's because Flynn fancies himself a comedian. He really does. He thinks he is the funniest dude
in the
world. And the guys who wrote this book think he is the funniest.
You have to tell that to Deaf Eda Pugh, though, when you said, I think you're the funniest guy
I've
ever met.
Flynn is the funniest character I've ever read.
He's best.
I love those Dune books so much.
He's awesome, right?
So they climbed out. Because of when this book is written, I came across a thing in chapter 26 that just felt weird to me. Yeah. Because at this point, it's anachronistic. They make a World Trade Center joke.
Ooh.
But this is before.
Right.
They're talking about taking a really long, because they're climbing down a long ladder. And I don't even remember what the joke is.
Yeah.
But I just remember being like, oh, wow, they made a 9/11 joke. I don't like that. But then here's the moment
I'm gonna make a prediction. I'm gonna make a prediction. You notice I just put my book down, right? Because I wanted to make sure I was tainted by nothing about this. Mm-hmm. Because I don't remember too much about the tiny specifics. I'm just, like you said, it's all fallen out of my head. So
yeah,
I can be honest. I'm promising you that this is with absolutely no cheating. They're going down a ladder and he damn well goes first because he wants to see that butt. Does he make a comment about her butt on the way down the ladder?
I don't remember. That is not what I'm talking about.
Because that's a perfect time for Flynn Taggart, I wanted to say a word, but I don't want to say it. You know what? I'm going to say it, and you best have a sound effect. Flynn Taggart, resident pound, a light drop. I'm gonna go first so I can take a look up, check out her butt, because she's coming at me like a housefrau on speed in the megastore. His boner is popping up like a housefrau on speed in the megastore.
I'm actually talking about the moment that's really surrealistic, and they don't mention it again pretty much for the rest of the book, which is the moment when they kiss.
Yeah, that's really weird. I don't like that part. And it's real forced and like not forced between them, right? But forced by the writers.
Yeah.
And
it's like, hey, these
really
two characters, they're gonna kiss, right?
Yeah, it's like oddly passionate in a romance sort of way. Like they like Flynn like cradles her and like dips her a little bit and they kiss passionately and like never let's see.
He kissed her hard and she responded.
That's what it was, yeah. I have to find it.
Do you want me to read it for you?
Please do, because
That took some of the shadows out of her dark mood. Don't worry, she said. I won't let you down. She'd been my buddy, my pal.
My buddy, my
We'd
pal.
Been careful not to confuse the issue by trying to be lovers.
My buddy, my pal.
But this was the right moment to take her in my arms, bring our faces close together and whisper, it's you and me. We'll go to the end together. We'll make them pay for everything. Outstanding, she said breathily. Hold on, let me redo that line. Outstanding, she said breathily, transforming the traditional marine bravado into something very different. A moment passed between us that reminded me of the time we could have been lovers and chose buddies instead. Now I kissed her hard and she responded. We might not have another chance. And we weren't going any farther than this. Not in a place where we could so easily be reworked into dead meat still on the hoof.
God, this guy really knows how to... This guy knows how to woe a person, right?
But then she says, I'm feeling better. My brain is working again. You know, we're in a good spot to do some damage. Making out just always makes me think better, bro.
And
making out with my friends.
I'm not... That's not how bodies work. If you're kissing,
we're in danger. We kiss.
That's
this
not.
This is like that. This
nobody's
is like that.
Brain gets clearer. This is the vert. This is like two dudes who have never experienced absolute pleasure writing about what they think buddy pleasure is. And I'm calling it buddy pleasure because if they use that damn word one more time in this book, she's my buddy, my pal, I'm going to take my thumbs and jab them into my eyes because I've never seen, I love the word buddy, right? You're my buddy. Like, hey, what's up, bud?
Yeah, what's up? What's up, buddy?
I've never wanted to hate that word so much in my life.
I think we should start the podcast with that every week.
Hey, what's
up, buddies?
What's up, my buddy, my pal?
What's up, my buddy that I kiss?
What's up, my buddy? My brain's clearer now.
This
maybe we should
so
kiss
long.
Each other at the beginning of each podcast.
Yeah. This took so long to get to that it felt like finally watching Mulder and Scully kiss on X-Files.
Yeah,
it's like watching Sam and Diane kiss on Cheers.
But at least Sam and Diane had a thing, right?
Yeah, but
I
that's
mean,
how long this took to happen.
Sam had his alcoholism.
Yeah.
And his addiction to sex. I've been watching a lot of Cheers lately.
Nice. Nice. It's a good show.
It's a really good show. And at least with Mulder and Scully, there was that continued tension there where, like, part of you was always like, I don't want to see them do that.
It's a will
right?
they
I
want
to. Right. And we could at least waited like 4 books for this garbage, right? Until maybe we never needed it because I just didn't. It's not like I think in my head Mulder and Scully, Sam and Diane, flying Arlene.
Like
it's not a part of the triad. It's not. I just think about hippie punk snots and house frows. That should have been a really good name for our podcast: hippie punk snots and house frows.
Maybe
flying
next
a belladonna
time,
on speed in the megastore. Anyway, let's keep going. We got so much more fun stuff to get to. That like
chapter 27.
Oh yeah, that's not fun.
They fight that cyber demon that you're talking about.
Called what?
Well, don't worry about it. We'll
it's
talk
not
about
cyber
it
at all.
Don't worry about it. Yeah, but we'll talk about it later.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, it sounds like I'm going to ace this quiz, dude.
I hate it. I hate how they describe it. They kill it, and then they climb down a manhole cover. They're like, oh, kill that thing. Let's go down there.
But then they kill it. And there's a description he makes at one point where he talks about
we're farts.
This 5-story tall creature that they fight shooting rockets, right? The cyber demon. We all know what the cyber demon looks like. If you don't, well, whatever. Go look at the cover of Doom
Just
2.
Look up a picture of Doom.
They fight it, and he says it roars, and he's like, it's as though the huge horns in the side of its head were 50-watt speakers. What? Like, that description sticks in my head.
What does that even mean, bro? Like, what is he even talking about?
It's like the horns inside of his head were 50-watt speakers.
Stupid.
Can we just skip past this then?
Yeah.
Then they go to episode 3.
They jump through a hyperspace tunnel like a pair of idiots at the end of this chapter.
They just jump through.
They just go, hey, guess what? Oh, it's a hyperspace tunnel? I'm gone. Cool.
I don't remember that from the first time I read this at all. At all.
Well, it doesn't matter because I don't remember anything else from this. Oh, so then we're at the start of episode 3, and we're naked again.
While they were auditioning for Ghost Space Busters.
Yes. Well, cool. Yeah. They then finally a moment that you'd think would be a moment of payoff that we've been waiting for since the beginning of the book, when our main character was horribly psychologically injured by a situation he was in, and we find Weems, and you think, oh, maybe we'll have this moment of actual cathartic revenge.
Something
like this would be about.
Yeah.
Instead, no. Weems is Siamese twinned. Excuse me, conjoined twinned. That's they say Siamese in this, right?
Yes.
I feel like I should go back and delete that out because that's horrible. But he's conjoined twin to another person, and they shoot each other.
They're conjoined twin by the head.
Yeah,
the top of the head.
I think so. Yeah, and then
I guess supposed to be suggest like they were a human experiment of some sort.
Right, because we're finding out. Guess what? That this whole invasion, it's aliens.
It was engineered.
It's engineered. We're grown bad guys. We're experiment on humans. Is there hell in this book?
There is not a hell in this book, right? So let's come straight to terms with the fact that the original Doom and Doom 2016 and Doom Eternal and all the Dooms are about killing straight, honest to Jesus demons. It's the most Christian game you can possibly imagine, right? Get a shotgun, kill demons. Slay demons. Doom guy hates demons. Right?
Yeah, he does.
So that's so badass and so cool. In this, we're never really sure. Like, sometimes they're demons, and other times they're talking about aliens. And we find out conclusively later on, but right now it's like, what are they?
Yep.
Are they demons?
So we go through this thing where we find Weems, we steal the clothes off of his back, and this woman's back, because we're like, hey, it just happened to be a male and a female soldier. How convenient, because this entire world is run on luck. And so we get out of that, and we find our next, a newest member of the cast.
Who is this new member of the cast?
Dead Meat. That should be his
name.
Oh,
he's a red shirt.
Dead
Meat. He's red shirt.
Yeah. I'm not even going to give him a name. We're not going to talk about his name right now.
Red shirt. And if you, I'm going to take a, if you were two soldiers picking up a
it's
red
fine.
Shirt.
It's fine. We can find his name. What's his name?
Bill Rich. If you were two soldiers, this is for anybody out there in the world. Take 10 seconds to think about this. If you were two soldiers in a book, finding a conveniently placed plot device, a.k.a. another character, will that person be A, if they're a red shirt, A, a soldier, B, a scientist, or C, a doctor? Which would they be?
It's clearly going to be B, a scientist.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's a computer programmer.
Exactly. Thank God they have a guy who knows how to get...
What do you know? It's exactly what we need at the end of the book, is a guy who knows how to work the program stuff. And he's hung up in the air. He's hung up.
He dies.
By everybody's favorite character.
Bill Rich dies.
So we get into the next chapter. Because, yeah, we find Bill Rich.
Yeah.
We get into the next chapter. The note that I wrote immediately after they found Bill was, how long is Bill going to last? That's all I'm thinking at this point.
Bill Rich. And he doesn't. He lasts about 20 pages. We don't know where they go after they go through the hyperspace thing. They just appear in Flesh World.
Mm-hmm. And they also, they do another dumb video game thing where they repeat the same area over. They don't die. It's not like they respawn, but they respawn. They go through a transporter at one point, and it takes them back to the beginning, but it's as if none of what they had done happened.
Yeah.
It resets the level.
And this is in hell, right?
Right. Why?
See, this is where my Doom brain is coming into
We're thinking about playing levels. Thinking about playing levels in Doom. Thinking about respawning. Nobody died. Nope. But Arlene gets hurt again. Arlene gets hurt in this chapter. And you know what I realized at this point in the book? I realized that it's me. I realized that this book is part of a demonic invasion. And it's a test. It's a test of me. I'm the one in hell. I'm the one that they're testing to see if I'm going to continue to do the same stupid shit over. If I'm going to continue to keep reading this dumb book. Guess what? the demons are winning because I did. I kept going.
But I have an answer to that. I can explain why they go through a teleporter and do the same thing over and over again.
Is it because this book needs more content because they couldn't reach their page quota?
I'm making another reference back to the game, but it's not respawning.
Okay.
E3M1, the very first level of the third episode, Inferno. Mm-hmm. The secret level of that episode, E3M9, is a repeat of the very first level with just slight modifications done to it.
Are you kidding me?
Nope, absolutely serious.
I don't even...
Eyeball switch on all.
So Arlene gets hurt.
Arlene gets hurt.
Yeah. Again? I think again? Is this
yes.
the point?
Yes. Yeah, we'll come back to that. Don't worry. Arlene gets hurt a lot because Fly's got to save her. Because
I got to save my lady pal.
Got to save my ladies.
My bud.
They talk about a switch in here fairly soon where it's shaped like a skull, right? And Arlene says what I think might be the dumbest thing I've ever heard in a book. Outside of our buddy who texted us and told us specifically to focus on a sequence where they talked about running around like chickens with their legs cut off.
Right? How do chickens with their legs cut off run around? How does that happen? Do they just sort of roll around on the floor?
Right. She talks about, we ran around like chickens with our legs cut off. It's in both versions. You can find it.
I don't even know where it is anymore, and I don't care.
They talk about a skull on the wall, designed. And Arlene says, that skull doesn't even have ears. So it must not be a human skull. That skull doesn't have ears. I'm not even exaggerating. I dog-eared the page. That skull.
What page is it?
Doesn't even have ears. I'm going to find it. Because I dog-eared it, and I can't. I have to. I know I dog-eared it, and I lost my shit.
No.
Here we go. The very end of chapter 29.
Okay, hold on. I'll get there in a second. Okay, I'm
the skulls
back.
Don't even have ears. Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry. I got myself confused, Bob. Let me go back and explain.
The skulls don't even have ears.
Yeah, but you know what I realized she's talking about? She's talking about the flying skulls.
Oh, wait, you mean flying skulls?
But guess
she's
what?
She's talking about that famous Doom enemy, flying skulls.
Skulls still don't have ears! I have to pet the cat. She got really upset for a second. Skulls don't have ears, man. Holy crap.
That's cool.
What happens at the end of this book? Can we just get through it? I'm done. I'm done.
Yeah, it's fine. Chapter 30. Let me blast through the rest
of
this real
Thanks,
quick.
Man. Appreciate it.
Oh, and the beginning of chapter 30, Flynn reveals he's got a wristwatch.
Wait. They have a whole conversation. They have a whole conversation when they go through the gates about, I'm still full. The food must be in my body because it's organic.
But he checks his watch, bro.
Does he check it like this?
Did he steal it from Weems?
Is he a back wrist or a front wrist?
Does he need a watch? Did he need a watch that he stole from Weems? That's the only thing I can think of. They make a really weak attempt at world building by talking about a 12-year baseball strike. Like, in the world of Doom, in the future, there will be a 12-year-long baseball strike. So anybody who loves baseball, starting possibly right now at the COVID-19 pandemic, where we are canceling everything.
COVID-19.
The 12 years from now, you'll get baseball again. Sorry, friends. Sorry if you like the most boring sport on the planet. They speculate more than anything in this book. They just make up things. They go, hey, guess what? Maybe there's a guy who does a thing and thinks about a thing, and then they just happen to be right.
Like the invasion, they're like, okay.
Oh, this must be an invasion.
Well, if it's an invasion and they're creating demons, then what's the best way to take care of it, Bob?
By getting to the master, the spider mind.
But because it's the because it's running the demon machine.
I hate this. I hate it.
How do you make the demon machine not make demons?
Oh, by turning off the power.
How do you do that?
You need a computer programmer.
But what if he's dead?
I kill the spider mind.
Boom! It's a spider that's a big brain. And we get in Doom that there was a big brain spider.
Oh, hey. Rich kills a cyber demon by sabotaging its missile feed.
Gets up on behind it and sabotages
it. It climbs on a giant thing. Doesn't notice he's there, and it has too many muscles to reach around and wipe its own ass.
I like how he says specifically that he's very upset because they stole his programming to create the cyber demon. Or as they call it, the steam demon. I'm a steam demon. Which means it wouldn't have programming at all because it'd be all hydraulic and not a cyber demon.
Don't worry, it's a steampunk demon.
So they call it a steam demon, and he's like, well, they stole my programming to make
the steam driven thing.
But you know how he sabotages it? By shoving his hand into the back of it and pulling wires out. That's not your programming, bro. That's pulling wires out.
He's a real smart programmer. He knows how to program things real good. Hey, guess what? I'm programming.
Oh my god!
Look at me programming.
I heard they stole your programming.
Hey, I gotta program my iPad. Let me just program this iPad right here.
You're doing the beats of the bops.
Oh, look, see, I programmed it and blew up the world.
So they they beat the spider mind, as they call it.
I hate this, what's happening right now, by the way.
Man, I do too. They beat the spider mind. Not going to tell you how. It's a reference back to one of the dumbest parts of the book that we talked about in the first episode.
What? Tell me, because I don't even remember.
The apple. Arlene Sanders has got great aim.
Oh, yeah. She shoots well.
Yeah, she shoots well. So they shoot a rocket at the spider mind and dump jet fuel all over it, and they blow up the spider mind. And then they're
Dead Meat Rich is dead.
Yeah, Dead Meat Rich is Red Shirt Rich is dead. And they're stuck now in this place that we all know as gamers is supposed to be hell, but it's not hell. It's just flesh world, whatever that is. And then the end of the book comes about, and they have to they realize that Jesus, they've already invaded Sutterlane. And this is exactly what you said, where they're just making like huge assumptions about the fact that they've invaded Earth already.
Well, they know they've invaded Earth.
Yeah.
Why? Because at the end of the book, the planet has dropped out of hyperspace.
Flesh place.
The flesh place that is on Deimos. They're still on Deimos, though.
Yeah, sort of, I guess.
I think. And they're, because there's a globe, what do you call it? A biodome over them.
Yeah.
And it's got a crack, because we're all going to die because the dome is cracked. Oh, what's that? Earth's out there. I can see Earth. And oh, wow. It looks like there's all these nuclear explosions. I hated this book, dude.
And then Arlene's like, I know how to get us back to Earth, fly. And that's how the book ends.
Yeah. Guess what?
Done.
The exact ending of the book is, fly, I have it. What? I know how to do it. Do what, damn it? Her lips moved, silently calculating. Then she grinned. I know how to get us across to Earth, fly. And listen to that hot, hot, awesome space terminology. She's not talking about down.
Across.
She's getting across to Earth. Because
like Sonny Bono.
There's no gravity in space.
Like Sonny Bono going across to the tree and not down to the tree.
Do you want to take some quizzes?
I do, because I'm...
Dude,
the tension in my body right now from reading this hot garbage. No, we're
more,
doing it.
Three
doing
more it. Books of this, dude.
But I think after, I will again say in slight defense, two at least tries to have a plot, right? There's way more characters. It's not just Fly and Arlene. Because literally, think about it. There are no characters other than Fly and Arlene. There's Bill Rich, who's a friggin' red shirt. There is no other characters in this book at all.
I felt really bad for Bill Rich.
Yeah, because he actually wasn't terrible.
And he existed to die. I knew from the moment that he was introduced that he was going to die because that's the type of book this is.
They did do something with him that I did like a little bit, which is when they gave...
He uses programming?
When they gave him a gun, he wasn't... He wasn't a loser with it, right? Like, he wasn't like, oh, how am I going to shoot a gun? How am I going to... Like, he held his own until he got a face full of spiny...
Demon goo
in his face. Fireball. Yep.
Man, there's so many notes that I take while I'm reading that I just... At one point, In all capitals, I have written in here, the Spider Mastermind. We just call the Spider Mind, I think, because we're so great at names. They say it's empty. That's when Flynn goes, okay, now I'm going to go out and fight this thing because it's run out of bullets. And then guess what? It's not out of bullets. And they never go, oh, I screwed up. I thought it was out of bullets. It just starts shooting again.
Did anybody... decide, even as the book needed to be written, they were like, it's a little video gamey to just have a spider with a Gatling gun on. I get it in a video game, right? But can't we explain it a little more, maybe? Like, why does it have a Gatling gun on it?
Well, they also talk about how it's got guns all over its bottom, like the turret. What was that?
That's a motorcycle.
Oh. All over the turret around, underneath it. But then they only ever talk about the one that's underneath its face. It's not... They don't do a good job of explaining anything in this book. And if you can take one thing away from this book, it is there are some people that should not be handed writing as a job. I wouldn't hand these idiots the directions to a piece of IKEA furniture.
You know who you hand the job to write this to? The dudes who are doing... Doom now, like,
yeah,
like their lore is so deep, it's sometimes a little way overboard, right? Like, it's too many proper nouns, but it's way better than this stuff. It's way more nuanced and understanding of how like fantasy and even sci-fi should work. Let's take some quizzes, man, because I'm done talking about this garbage. If you were gonna give this book,
One last thing.
Yeah.
Because it is typical of everything that happens in this book. The last gunshot of the book that they take, that Flynn takes, the big shot, this is it. He has to switch the gun to his offhand because he gets injured. And you find out for the first time in the whole book that Flynn Taggart is left-handed. This seems to me like a thing that you would kind of go, huh, so like, they talked about such dumb stuff in this book. Why wouldn't they just earlier explain that Flynn Taggart's left-handed?
Well, here's the thing about that. You keep going, because there is
Is it because in Doom, he's not either-handed? Because the gun sits right in the center of the screen?
Well, so he's not, but he's technically right-handed.
Why?
Because when he shoots the shotgun, he cocks it with his left hand in the game.
But he's in the game, yeah.
Yes,
In the book, they're saying that he's left-handed, but they don't explain it until the very end when he has to switch the gun to his right shoulder.
So here's the thing that's real. So he has to switch the gun to the right shoulder because he's always on the left. Here's the thing about that this is also tells me these guys have no idea how any of this stuff works. Guns are created predominantly for right-handed people. It is a very different experience to shoot a gun as a left-hander because of where the casing ejection is and where the general work is for that gun. So, for example, you hold a 1911 in your hand. Unless it's built for a left-hander, the slide release is on the right side, which means you use your right thumb to release the slide and load around.
Yeah.
Right? So and also the release for the cartridge isn't directly on top, it's a little bit to the left. So that way, why when you shoot, what's happening with that cartridge? It's going to the left and not going to your sight picture.
Right.
So if you are a left-hander, using these things. It's a very different experience. And with all the garbage that they've talked, and not all these weapons are ambidextrous, especially a shotgun. A shotgun is always releasing on the right and not the left.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just the way it works. So, like, the experience is going to be different for a left-hander in most cases. Yeah. So the fact that this has never been mentioned up to this point, especially with the pistols.
Yeah. He says
he takes pistols from everyone else.
Mm-hmm. I ran the 100 in world record time. I flung myself through the air in a graceful swan dive, tucked at the last second, and rolled beautifully, dislocating my shoulder. I struggled up, shifted the shotgun to my right, weak hand, reached over the steam demon, and let fly with the last shell.
Cool details.
Mm-hmm. They wanted to be cool.
They want to embrace. They want to be as inclusive as possible. Embrace your lefties with this book. Hey, lefties, you have a hero just for you. His name is Flynn Taggart.
Flynn Taggart,
famous lefty.
Guess what? Flynn Taggart, Doom guy. He's there just for you, left-handos.
Hey, left-handos. You're a real left-hando. You got a real hero to follow.
Don't want none of those. Don't want none of those leftos and ambos. In my army.
What, ambos?
Only righties. Leftos and ambos, no thanks.
He's a real leftist.
You want to take a quiz?
Please. Can I take a quiz now? Because I'm so done with this book. What would you give it? Give it out of five.
Oh, give it a rating? Rating? Yeah. I'll give it a one.
A
one out of five.
It's not a very creative rating, dude.
I could give it a zero.
No.
I'm giving it a one.
But your rating, like, I want to know rating.
I'm trying to think. Bro, my brain is so blown up.
Because I'm giving it.
Okay, I got it. Fine. I'm going to give it one shotgun shell out of five for a left-handed shotgun.
I was going to give it one shotgun shell out of one shotgun shell left out of five for a super shotgun. You can't even shoot it because you can't. Because in Doom, it's only twos. You can't shoot your super shotgun with one shell.
No,
I had to explain that. It is. It's not good. It's not good. I'm hoping to give number two a two.
Yeah, you want to give number two a two.
Let's take a quiz. Do you want to go first? You want me to go first? Let's paper rock scissors for it.
Okay.
Ready?
Okay.
Okay. Ready? But let's not call paper rock scissors. Paper rock scissors. Let's call it chainsaw.
Which is what?
Scissors.
Okay.
Chainsaw. Mm-hmm. I'm dead, which is paper, and steam demon, which is rock. Same rules apply.
Okay.
But you got to shout it out. What are you doing? Okay, ready?
Chainsaw,
I'm dead.
I'm dead, steam demon.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay, ready? Right. Best two.
Wait,
out of
no.
Three.
It should be chainsaw, pumpkin.
Pumpkin.
That's round.
I'm dead.
Chainsaw, pumpkin, steam demon, because it flattens you.
Okay, okay. But I think I'm dead.
Okay.
Can we say,
pumpkin, I'm dead.
No. Can we say I'm dead when we do it, though? Like, I'm dead, steam demon.
Okay, that's
okay,
fine.
Okay, right, cool, because I just don't want to, I just want to say I'm dead.
Okay, got it.
Okay, cool, ready?
Ready.
Okay. I'm dead.
I'm dead.
I'm dead.
Dead.
Chainsaw.
I'm dead. You won, because I did,
okay,
I'm dead.
Okay, cool, so I'm going to take a quiz first.
Okay.
I'm already done.
So that means I got to bring it up for you, or you bring it up for me?
I bring it for me.
Oh, you're taking, taking my
take
quiz
yours,
first.
Right. Okay, so here I'm going to take, Bob made a specially designed Kahoot for me. So
yeah,
I'm going to click on it, and then I'm going to share my screen.
And I'll try to add the links in the description so that everybody can take the Kahoots within a certain amount of time.
All right, here we go. I'm going to share my screen.
Don't forget to share your volume if you can,
too.
I
want to
hear the hot Kahoot music.
I don't know if it's going. You might need to put it in there.
It's fine.
Okay, so quarantine quiz one, knee deep in the... I hate that picture of that Caco demon, by the way. I don't know why it's so uncomfortable, but it's really uncomfortable. Okay, what's my nickname? Bill Rich.
Nice.
Okay, go. Here I
Bill
am.
Bill Rich.
All right, here we go. Here's our first one. Quarantine quiz, knee deep in the dead. Where's my music? I need my music. It's not there. What is the dumb name given to the floating demons in the book? I know this one. It's not a jack-o'-lantern. It's not a caco demon. I'm going to pick pumpkin, boy.
What was the last one?
Deafy to Pew. What? Oh, yeah. Did I not read it? I'm sorry. I got really excited.
No,
to know
you didn't. It's a podcast, it's, bro.
You
come
said
on.
Jack-o'-lantern, cacodemon, pumpkin, and Deaf Eatab Hugh. I got 1,000 points, man, for pumpkin. Nice. Number two. Look at Bill Rich. Got 1,000 points. Best thing he's ever done in his life other than get flamed in the face. Number two of five. True or false? Flynn and Arlene never kiss in this book. He's got this gif of these two tongues. Ew, and he's doing the gross kiss, too. Like the... It's like kissing a slug. It's like trying to taste a slug. Tongues are weird, right? Ew, he does the suck and the whip curl. They do kiss. True.
Read the question again.
I got stuck. Never a kiss in this book. False. Can I go back? I was too focused on the kiss.
Nope, that's part of the quiz,
bro.
You tried to trick me.
You pulled a teacher move on me, man. I am a teacher. I should be able to see teachers.
Pay attention.
Sorry,
more than
I'm
you
sorry.
Did to the book.
I'm sorry. I'm really
I understand it was a daunting experience, but come on.
Number three of five. What is the other really stupid name used to refer to the second episode's boss in this book? Demon Lord? Pinky Demon? Semen Demon? Or Steam Demon? It's gonna be the Steam Demon, baby. Steam Demon. Although Semen Demon is really good because it rhymes. Semen Demon.
I thought hard.
Thank you. I appreciate
it. It took me a long 5 minutes to make this Kahoot for you.
I've got 2,000 points. I could have had 3,000, but I got that stupid question wrong. Because true false
I just
questions love, anxiety me out.
I love sitting here looking at the top of the screen where it just says Sonny Bono, Wikipedia.
Which enemy in the book was not a real Doom enemy? The tiny small demon they never name. Pumpkins, the spider mind, or imps? Here we go. The tiny small demon they never name.
Yeah, at one point they're just like, Arlene ran down a hallway and started shooting, and then there were these tiny demons, and he's like, maybe they were babies. Dems was demon babies.
But I can't even think of any moment in the games where there would be, like, demon babies like that. Like in the games where they would even presume that such a thing... I don't know. I like this perfectly... This gif of the former
Doom
Marine
jibbing. Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's all perfectly contained in its little square of action. All right. I'm going to pull 4,000. So you got to beat 4,000 on your quiz. Who is the dead meat programmer Flynn and Arlene pick up and basically guilt into dying for them? John Romero? I wish it was. John Carmack? Adrian Carmack? Or Bill Rich? Funny joke. Funny thing. Adrian Carmack is this guy in the back here, right here.
Yeah.
Not related to John Carmack.
I knew that.
Bill Rich. Yeah.
Great job, man.
Thanks, man. Mm-hmm. It was a really good quiz. I feel like it was really reading comprehension. You know, it was a good reading comprehension quiz. If you're not an idiot, you'd be fine getting at least a 4 out of 5 on it. Cool, man. Oh, I got 4,300, so you got to get better than 4,300 on mine.
Okay.
All right?
All right, that means you got a streak.
Okay.
Cool.
Okay, 4,300. All
right, now, nice. It's my turn now,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's go ahead and pull up your Kahoot. That is not what I'm looking for. Oh, did I mess something up?
Like sweat.
Oof, what is going on here? Give me a second to find. Why did that open up? Dumb.
Is it the wrong thing?
It did, but I'm okay. I'm fine.
Did you find
it?
We
got this. Yes, I found it.
Okay, good.
I need to actually. Oh God, what am I doing? I screwed up.
Needed my help?
No, I think I got it.
Are you on Pornhub.com?
I definitely ended up on Pornhub.
Can you start posting these to Pornhub?
This is my quiz. God darn it.
Do you need?
Nope, I just need to not be stupid.
Can you post these on Pornhub? Can you post them up there with like two dudes look each other passionately in the eyes and it's just our podcast?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, sorry. I will get there. Let me close this up. This is taking forever. So sorry. And I'll share the screen. It'll be
In 5, 4, 3, 2. There it is.
Why is your face still up and not mine?
Because you're look. I don't know.
Can you see me?
I can see you.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, you're. I'm just there because I'm on your Zoom thing.
Got it. Sometimes I don't know how technology works. E1M3, our bad quiz. Okay, so enter nickname. Arlene.
Santa Claus.
Oh, no. Arlene Santa Claus.
Okay, Arlene Santa Claus. All right.
Three, two, one.
We got to put the Kahoot music in here.
In contrast to the games, this creature makes its belated first appearance on Deimos. A mancubus, a baron of hell, a specter, or a demon? Well, I know it's not a mancubus, because that's not until Doom 2.
Right.
A demon, do you mean a pinky?
You know me, I'm very in the know when it comes to the nomenclature they use in the games.
It's a demon.
What's a demon, buddy?
It's a demon. A demon, it's a pinky demon.
Yeah.
Also, they wait a very long time in the book to tell you eventually that specters and demons are the same thing.
Yeah.
And they don't ever have any proof of it.
And they never, like, the fact that Fly sees a demon, a pinky, for the first time in episode 2 is completely counter. They want to be so accurate to the books, or to the games,
right? Except when they don't. They just decide not to. Question 2. Arlene is saved from a mortal wound by what convenient literary device? Red herring, Deus Ex Machina, MacGuffin, or Chekhov's gun? Okay, well, here's the thing. A red herring is a thing that isn't important and leads you somewhere else.
I mean, the whole book, right?
Right. A MacGuffin is whatever. Chekhov's gun is a thing that isn't used until it's necessary, but it's there the whole time and in the back of your head. I'm going to say it's Deus Ex Machina, which is a thing coming out of nowhere to save you.
It is. Do you remember what it was?
Yeah, it was the sphere.
Yeah. Okay,
the blue face sphere.
So look at the picture that I put there, though.
Yes.
Okay, do you know why I put that picture there?
Is it because that's right around the corner in that area?
So that is from the second level of Doom containment. Or second level
soul
of the second
sphere,
episode, right? Yeah, it's a soul sphere. They find a soul sphere, and he throws her onto the blue soul sphere. And they never explain what these soul spheres are. They just make them feel better.
Right.
So in the game, you get 100 hit points for it, and you get 100 armor. But in this part of the second level of Doom 2, of the second level of the second episode of Doom, Fly talks about carrying her across
red lava,
and the floor is beginning to rise, and then he turns around, and behind, he gets the yellow key card, which is in this room, and then when he turns around back across the lava is a door that opens up with the soul sphere, and that exact thing is what happens in this room in the game.
That's awesome. That's awesome that you remember that.
It's this neat thing where it's like, God, like, why is this the reference you choose to make? Why?
There's no thought process going into this that even makes sense. You can't actually ask those questions of them and expect any realistic answer.
Why is this? Well, I don't know.
Next question.
You got...
Look, 2100, because I got two in a row. Next.
I'm a little afraid.
Question 3. Which name, chosen by Fly and Arlene, is actually totally wrong, and you'd have to be a moron not to realize it? Is it a spiny, a pumpkin, a hell prince, or a flying skull? Is there an all of the above?
No, there's not. There's not. But one of them is totally wrong.
I'm going to pick pumpkin.
I have my reasoning.
Is it because he's a different... level of nobility?
So because with spinies, flying skulls, and pumpkins, right? I'm getting real technical about this. There's only one demon in the Doom games that fit those. So, like, technically they're not wrong, right? A spiny is an imp, same thing. Pumpkin is a cacodemon. Flying skull. But the Hell Prince, there are two distinct types of that enemy.
It's a palette swap.
There's a Baron of Hell, and then there's the Hell Knight. But in the first Doom book, they refer to the Baron of Hell as the Hell Prince, which is way closer to the Hell Knight, which doesn't really make an appearance until the second Doom game. And I'm really bothered by that, like really bothered by that in ways that I can't even begin to tell
you. Yeah, it's actually so much that I know there's ways that I'm upset about this. I feel like you're upset in the wrong
ways. Why couldn't you just call it the Baron? They could have had a chuckle. Baron von Horny. Baron von Minotaur. They could have had a funny chuckle chuck about it. Baron von Horny. Green Flame. I don't know. They could have
had a... answer. I'm moving on. All right, I'm already over it.
You got it wrong, though.
I know I got it wrong because you pulled a dumb trick question. Which of these authors' works is not directly alluded to over the course of the book? Robert Howard, Mary Shelley, H.P. Lovecraft, or William Shakespeare? I think it's Mary Shelley because Mary Shelley is a woman, and we're not going to... Robert Howard? They don't talk about Dune or anything?
Talk about Conan.
Wait, I don't remember which
one. Robert Howard's Conan.
Oh, shoot.
They do, so they do.
I'm the one that reads Conan. Know, why am
idiot.
I? Oh, my God.
So they reference H.P. Lovecraft. Do you remember
Well, technically, that's referencing Robert Howard, okay?
No. You can't go there.
Same worlds, bro.
No, you know, but no. He's referencing specifically H.P. Lovecraft.
Shared universe, man.
Yeah, because those two guys docked, which is great.
Where did they reference Mary Shelley?
So H.P. Lovecraft, they call everything Eldritch, right? Because what's her name reads it. And Mary Shelley, there's a moment where they talk about, and I actually sort of hated this, one of the zombies stumbling at them like Frankenstein's creation. And William Shakespeare, and this is clever, but again, stupid. They talk about turning the demons on each other using the Iago tactic.
Yeah.
Which, you know, it's like just making them infight.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of allusion in this book. There's a surprising amount. It's clearly allusion provided by people who were and are readers to people who aren't. That's the only problem. Like, and you don't need to allude to anything. Just don't. You don't need that crap.
All right, let me finish this quiz.
Yeah, do it. You do it.
You know, also, I got to say, let me finish this quiz, all right? Let me just finish this quiz.
You got a problem with my quiz?
This commercial is vaguely and inadvertently... reference after which event? This commercial.
You should play it.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
My buddy. There you go.
This commercial is vaguely and inadvertently referenced after which event? The steam demon's destruction, the spider mind gets blown to bits, Wilhelm Dodd's second death, Fly and Arlene's kiss, and it's weird. I pick Fly and Arlene's kiss, and it's weird, but it's Wilhelm Dodd's second death.
I'm going to read it to you.
Okay, please do.
She pumped it. So Arlene kills her ex-boyfriend, who has become a demon.
Right.
Just as my finger tightened on the trigger, Arlene's face suddenly hardened. The color returned. She closed her mouth. Then she pumped a shell into the receiver, shouldered her riot gun, and blew the zombie Dodd's head off. Nobody said anything. Bill Rich took his cue from our awkward silence. I put my hand on Arlene's shoulder, and she spoke. Her voice croaked in a rusty can tied behind a very old car. What does that even mean? I'm not even. Her voice croaked like a rusty can tied behind a very old car. He was already gone, Fly, and I didn't want him to come between my buddy and me. And so all I hear in my head is, my buddy and me.
Well, first of all, let's go ahead and say that...
It was hard.
Your quiz was hard. I scored 2,100. I got... 2 out of 5, whereas you got 4 out of 5 for. I don't even know what that quiz was, dude. That was a real English teacher quiz.
Yeah, because I'm.
You're a real monster. Nobody likes quizzes like that.
Well, I try my best. You did the thing where you. Whatever.
where it was fun and funny as opposed to hurting, because I remember that part where I told you I didn't remember anything.
Yeah, well, you know what? Then you came into the
about this book.
Then you came into the podcast and you literally gave me all the answers.
Why? Because
write a better quiz next time.
Things to
write
remember
a more hard
about
quiz
book.
Next time. Show me you really read the book.
I will. Okay, well, you want a harder quiz? We're going to play another game.
Oh, man, no.
This is the last game we're going to play okay. of this episode, and then we're going to be done thinking about Doom.
Knee Deep in the Dead before we get to Doom, Hell on Earth by Daffy Deb Hugh and Brad Lineweaver.
Who I got to write letters to.
Yeah, you do. Brad Lineweaver's dead. You can leave it on his grave if you want to.
This is called Name the Number of Stars in That Amazon Review. This is a game where I'm going to read a review for you, and you have to guess how many stars the book was given
by
the reviewer.
Cool, 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 cool. Okay, cool.
Okay. We're going to start with a review by Matthew T. Shelley. The title of the review is, "Well, at least there isn't a movie based off of it, dot, dot, dot." Okay, I've read a lot of books based on games, four dot ellipsis. And I've played Doom backwards and forwards until I know every imp and every Caco demon and every sergeant and grunt. But this takes the cake as being the epitome of bad stuff. Daffod has absolutely no writing ability whatsoever. The first-person perspective was at times interesting, especially when he is describing the Semper Fi attitude. However, after that it is just plain silly. An imp throws a fireball after saying, "Aren't we having a ball?" At that point, I nearly threw the book away, but decided to see it through. And what a mistake I made.
Thank God for that, Matt Shelley. I'm glad that you stuck through it, man.
A second character, a stout, mannish female, was added. When her character is found, they are both naked, having just been teleported. When he tries to get dressed, she asks him to stop so she can look at him longer. Apparently, Mr. Hugh's sexual hang-ups need to be put aside.
I like how he calls her a stout, mannish...
No.
Like,
yeah.
No, Matt.
No, he's
Shelley.
Actually, did you not pay attention to the book, Matt?
No,
because
Matt Shelley.
Clearly states she has a lean body.
Matt, this is a message just for you. I'm going to leave a link. I'm going to leave a link to our podcast on your review. This is a message just for you, Matt Shelley. Stop being a chauvinist butthole and read better books.
Well, apparently, Mr. Hugh's sexual hangups need to be put aside. Speaking of put aside, the book had such incredible ups and downs of interest, it was obvious that he would write with inspiration for a chapter, then drudge along for three more just to get it done.
Is Brad Lineweaver dead when this was written? Because his name is still on the book.
I know. This is less of a novel and more of an eighth grade report. How old is Hugh anyway? 13? On the plus side, the book isn't very long. And there are a few interesting points, like when Flynn realizes he's losing his mind when he sees a robot riding a bicycle in the shape of a room. Quite original and subtle. Outside of these half a dozen moments of inspiration, I must say Daffod Up Hugh needs to find a new line of work. Thanks, Matthew T. Shelley.
Because he doesn't seem to be a very reliable person, I'm going to say 3 out of 5 stars.
One.
Really?
1 out of 5
He spent
stars.
A lot of time really hating this book, but then complimenting it.
I know. It's weird. It's weird. Matthew Shelley, first of all, I don't think you're a person that I want to bother reviewing my book.
Nope.
Because you don't even seem to understand the thing that you read. Not that I can say I understand the thing that I read, because I don't. Because I lost interest a lot of times. But at least I know that Arlene Sanders Claus is not a stout, mannish woman.
Let's go to the next one.
This one is by Paul.
Paul.
An okay book.
Okay book.
This is called An Okay Book. First off, I've been a Doom fan since day one of the game's launch, and that was about 10 years ago, which also means...
Wait, when was this written?
This review was written, I should have said this, May 10th, 2004.
Oh my God. I forget that the internet existed in 2004 and that there's still record of things that happened on the internet from 2004. Wow.
First off, I've been a fan of
Doom. So this guy right now is trying to throw his Doom dick around when Doom 3 comes out. He's like,
"Oh, he's a real Doom hipster.
I played the original." You're 1 year before the movie with The Rock, you asshole.
I've been a fan of Doom since day one of the game's launch, and that was about 10 years ago. The first book reminds me of the Aliens trilogy, but it's worse in content. I think the writer has focused too much on the game action instead of trying to build a story based on the plot, and thus ended up with some passages that just don't sit right. For example, he talks about the Mega Health Sphere, which is an item in the game that gives you 100 points to your health. Do you want to correct him on that?
Yeah, I do.
Good.
The Mega Sphere gives you 200. Okay. You're talking about the Soul Sphere. This is the fucking Soul Sphere.
Descriptive narrative tends to be superficial, and I feel the book only gets better at about page 120 250 that the book has.
Let's see, 120, right? Let's see exactly the moment that Paul thinks the book gets better.
Paul thinks it gets better. What happens on page 120?
They talk about H.P. Lovecraft and Arlene is there.
Cool. Yeah, there you go.
Yep.
That's exactly it.
Well, the book gets better when they talk about H.P. Lovecraft and Arlene's there.
So I'd say it's an okay book. Okay. Could have been better.
Could have been better.
Read it only if you like the Doom plot.
Yeah, just even though you literally said it was not good.
I give it 4 out of 5 stars with indulgence. I'm reading book 2 and the story is much
richer.
Wait
a damn second. You just said I had to guess.
Yeah, you do.
I give it 4 out of 5 stars. But he gives it 3.
He gave it a 3.
Come on, Paul.
Paul,
you can't even count, man. How? Okay, 3. 3. You know what 3 is important for? Direct shots to kill a mancubus with a rocket. Not 4, okay? You know what 3 is really good for? 3 blasts from a shotgun to kill a demon / pinky / specter. 3. Maybe 2 if you're on point, right? But 3 reliably, okay?
Bro. That's what I got for you, man. There's some great reviews, right? The community that would read this book voluntarily.
They can't even count to 5!
Bro, the next month and a half of our life is going to be so much more difficult than this was.
I can't wait to get to book 4.
I started book 2.
Yeah, how they get back to Earth is really awesome, isn't it?
I'm going to leave you all hanging there, and you can figure that out.
Find out. I'll fly in early and get back to Earth in book 2 of the Doom Saga.
All right. Let me open up the book.
No homework this week. Y'all are off, thank God. I mean, just start reading. Oh, God.
There is homework. That's exactly it. Your homework is to read Doom, book 2, Hell on Earth. Let's go ahead and...
The whole thing?
I'm going to the...
Here I am, the teacher who teaches books, and I'm like, I'm going to read the whole thing.
You know what? Let's do the exact same thing as last time.
Okay.
Chapter 16.
Okay, cool.
Finish chapter 16.
God, I hate the stupid books.
You chose them.
I know I did, because I thought they were going to be a lot better than they were.
All right, friends, let's talk about this, seeing as how it is May the 4th while we're recording this. Stick with us, get through this Doom series, and then I promise you we'll pick something Star Wars. We'll read a Star Wars book as an interim before whatever next group of trash we're
going
into.
Can we read something that is... Should we read something that's, like, potentially good, like the Thrawn series?
I don't know. I'll tell you what. Why don't we get people to comment on our Facebook, our Instagram, or our website, send us an email, and tell us which Star Wars books you'd like us to read after the Doom series is
over.
Please
don't give us crap!
Oh, man, I bet you somebody's going to say Death Troopers, and I'm going to tell you, that book is hot garbage. I read it. I was really excited. I was like, what, Star Wars zombies?
It's not good.
It's not good. I mean, if you want to see a suffer, pick something like Death Troopers.
No, please.
But don't think about it. I mean, think about this. If you're reading along with us, you got to do it, too.
Please don't. But also don't pick something bad, please.
So let's start thinking about that, friends. Yep. I want you to drop us a line. If you'd like to email us directly, you can check out our website at www.thequarantinebookclub.com. Excuse me, that was cool. I'm making some burps here. My dinner's coming back up. You can also find us on our Facebook. We're at The Quarantine Book Club. And on Instagram, we're The Quarantine Book Club Podcast. if you're watching this version on YouTube, maybe do the, you know, like and subscribe, hit the bell
like
icon,
and
baby.
Subscribe.
You know, you can find this podcast where you find most podcast services, Apple, Spotify. And if you get a chance, give us a like and review, maybe share us to your friends, tell it about people. It really helps. And we're building a little bit of steam here, but I got to be honest, I'd love some feedback. Want to hear from everyone.
Everyone. Want to hear from everyone. Every two, every three. Give me feedback.
Let us know what you like more. We're trying to find an actual sort of flow for the show, and I think this week might have been a little bit better. So reviews are going to be a regular thing. We'll do the review game. I don't know if next week if you want to do it, Rance.
Yeah, I got you back.
I can guess.
I got you back.
And I love the cahoots. Maybe you want to do cahoots again next week?
Yeah, if you're not going to complain about it.
I mean, if you're not going to make it so tough, I'm an
idiot. It was a good quiz.
It was a great quiz for an English teacher. I'm a theater idiot.
Then I'll do a theater quiz.
Do a theater quiz about Doom.
Yeah, I'll say what
book two.
Yeah, you know what? Earth. You know what? Here's my challenge to you. Here's my challenge to you, sir. Good sir. Put your gun fingers in the air because you're about to get dueled. Okay?
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
I'm going to make a quiz about Doom 2, Hell on Earth. Doom Hell on Earth by Daffy Depew and Brad Linweaver, RIP.
Yes.
That is specifically theater oriented.
I don't know how you're going to do that, but okay.
You're like, I got to make a big theater boy time. So I'm going to do it. No, I'm going to do it. And if you get,
I'll make an English teacher quiz.
Do it. If you get anything less than a 5,000, you got to write a letter. If you get anything less than a 5,000.
Okay. Did you lock up? Come on.
I'm going to figure it out. But you still got to, you got to email Daffy Depew this week.
I know. I got to do that this week.
Because you wanted to take that bet.
You're right. I did. And
I best see that.
I will live with the consequences of my own actions.
If you get less than me on
next week's quiz,
whoever loses has to do a 30-minute special episode of an elongated dramatic reading of a selection from the Doom books. 30
okay.
minutes.
Okay. All right.
Cool.
30 minutes.
30 minutes. Because it's more for you to suffer. Nobody's going to hear it.
No, I know, because nobody's going to listen to
great,
it.
Great sound clips, though. All right, I'm out of here.
All right, bro.
Peacing.
I'll see you next week.
Yep.
Friends, we got a bye-bye catchphrase yet? She was my buddy.
My pal.
My friend, buddy, pal.
Hey, buddy, pal. You know what, though? It's more like she was like a Hausfrau on speed in a megastore. Coming at me like a Hausfrau on speed in a megastore.
What's that other one that you said last week? What was the flying thing?
Hippie punk's not flying on Belladonna?
That's right.
Crazy.
Hippie punk's
bugging. Hippie punk's not flying on Belladonna and a Hausfrau.
Later. to go.
Almost. Let me get a beer. I'm going to do that.
Cut. Okay. Cut?
No. Just saying I'm getting a beer.
Hey, nice shorts, Rance. Rance walks away. Maybe he'll hear this. I think I'm just going to keep recording it and not actually turn it off. So while he's out getting a beer, I can talk about him. And then you can hear it. And I don't feel so bad. Rance, I bet Rance looked that Sonny Bono thing up ahead of time. He's a real shit like that. He's a cheater. He's been cheating at things since we were little kids. Nobody likes him because he's such a cheater. Cheater, cheater, demon eater. That was an old Doom advertisement, in case you were wondering. Look, I don't have anything interesting to say as a human being, so I'm not going to be mad if you stop right now and move on to something else. That's not, I won't be sad.